For our scripture reading, I would draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 46. We'll be reading this brief chapter and then a portion as well from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Isaiah 46. Hear God's word. Listen diligently. Let the Spirit minister these words to your heart. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken ye unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. And then turning to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 3 and read through verse 16. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now that she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Thus far, the reading of God's word. To him be the glory. It's my joy and privilege to share with you today. And as one of the earlier addresses, or a couple of the earlier addresses, the assembly of this conference has been addressed to the children, the young people. I felt like perhaps it might be profitable if the old folks had a message as well. And so my message has been entitled, God's Comfort for Aging Saints. Now, I will have to confess, I did a non-scientific survey during this conference week to determine who I would be speaking to. I say this a bit facetiously, but I wanted to know who the old people were. And so there was this survey done amongst some of the children who were present at the conference. And so I learned that the people that I will be addressing are probably 30 years and up. One child, especially when questioned about, well, what about your parents? The age went from 30 to 40 as old age. So a parent got brought back down to the young folks again. Age is somewhat in the eyes of the beholder as we look at it in the world. I can remember a father who was a medical doctor who would come home at various stages in my life and say, a young man of 30 died of a heart attack today. And a few years later, it was a young man of 40. And a few years later, it was a young man of 50. And then a few years later, it was even a young man of 60. We have our perceptions. But we know when we come to God's Word and when He speaks to ministry to the aged, He speaks from His point of reference, not ours. Professor Donald Wiseman, emeritus professor of Assyriology at the University of London, commented in the New Bible Dictionary regarding age as it's expressed in the Bible. He says, the change from maturity to old age was considered as age 60. Thus, at 60, one attains old age. At 70, the hoary head, white-headed. At 80, special strength. At 90, bending. And at 100, speaking of Abraham, as though already dead. Well, as we come to think of God's comfort to us as we're aging, and children, lest you turn me off at this point and say, I'm just talking to the old folks, realize, children, that you are aging at this point as well. And I will be addressing specific remarks to you as I go along, because God's comfort to the aging involves children that have understanding as well. God uses others to accomplish his purposes. So as we address this matter of God's comfort for the aging, we look at it, first of all, the problem of aging, the prayer of aging saints, and then God's promise to aging saints. Those three categories. Looking at it from a biblical perspective, the problem of aging, the prayer of aging saints, and thirdly, God's promise to aging saints. Well, as we look at the problem of aging, we see that there's an abundance of information in the scriptures that addresses the issue of aging and the problems associated with this. Just the other evening, as the young people were being addressed, we had the scripture reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It is specifically addressed to the young people, but old people would be very foolish to ignore the content of this passage. I read it again for our benefit. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days. Old folks, can you identify with that? The difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sounds of grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is burdened, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. What we have here is a description of aging saints. And young people, you were encouraged to give your lives now and your vigor and your strength to serve the Lord. Well, aged and aging saints, if this is true for young ones, lest they squander the vitality of their lives in frivolous living, how much more so for those of us who see ourselves somewhat closer to the gates of glory. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord acknowledges this problem of disability that comes with aging. And under this problem of aging, we do have three things I would draw our attention to from a biblical perspective. There's the problem of disability, and there's the problem of disrespect, and then there's the problem of death. Three D's. In the disability, we see it described in this passage we've read. We see that not all people are like Moses, who the scriptures tell us that he was as vigorous at 120 as he was in his youth. God had preserved him. And we see the testimony of Caleb at age 85 saying that he has as much strength at 85 to go out to battle and come back in again as he did on the day when he was given the promise of God as they were entering into the land. There are few of us who will experience those experiences. And so the reality is, as we grow older, the frailties mentioned in Ecclesiastes 12 will come upon us. God is a realist, and He's speaking to us that our eyes will be open to the reality that we will face change with our aging. In Ecclesiastes 12, there's the speaking of loss of vision. I'm wearing glasses, young people, because a brother told me, when you hit 40, you're going to lose your eyesight. And I laughed at him. And at age 40, I was looking for glasses so I could see the print again. He describes the loss of vigor of someone stumbling along because you're no longer stable on your feet. Talks about the grinders being few. Your teeth are falling out. And he goes through describing the process of aging. And again, it's all under the category of the difficult days. We're going through this transition of infirmity and disability. And we need to be aware, as God would warn us, that these troubles are coming upon us. That's one of the difficulties of aging. But secondly, another difficulty of aging is the disrespect. We live in a fallen culture. And generally speaking, there is disrespect for those who are aging. Job would say in Job 30, verse 9, "And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face." Now, with Job, whether it was all due to aging or whether it was the affliction that he was going through and the chastening of God, there is this temptation in among those around you that when life gets difficult for you, they make themselves scarce. There's a sense of rejection, a sense of disrespect for old age. Professor Wiseman noted that wasn't generally the case in ancient times. He says this, "Throughout the ancient Near East, the aged were held in honor for their experience and wisdom. Among the Hebrews, this was not simply because of the outward sign of the gray beard or gray hair, but because of the attainment of fullness of days or entering into many days was considered to be a sign of divine favor for fearing the Lord and keeping His commandments and thus showing dependence on God's appointed authority." But children, I imagine your parents have encouraged you to memorize the Ten Commandments. And there's one of the commandments that's repeated in the New Testament again, directed to children. And it's an admonishment to honor your father and mother because it's a special commandment. It tells us that those who do so, God will reward with long life. And so it is that in the biblical culture, there was this sense of respect for the aged. But in our days, we don't see this generally in the culture. There's a general contempt generally for particularly, yes, those who look like they're getting older. But the more you fit the category of the difficult times with various disabilities that have overcome you, there is in the broader culture a rejection of the aged. This, sadly, is also a sign of God's judgment on the culture. In Isaiah chapter 3, at verse 5, the Lord, speaking of the judgments that was coming upon His people, spoke of the people will be oppressed, everyone by another, everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent towards the aged and the base toward the honorable. And as we see our society slipping away from the things of the Lord in a biblical perspective, we as aging saints more and more are looking at contempt for the aged. The only thing in our culture that seems to be still maintaining a degree of consideration is the fact that old folks are getting more numerous and they have power at the poll. But that will change as well as our society becomes more decadent. So there is, yes, the problem of disability. There's the problem of disrespect. There's also the problem that we face in aging of facing death. Psalm 116, verse 3, the psalmist explains, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol took hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." And there is the reality as we face death that we're drawing near to it. There's this sense of dealing with the fear of the unknown. Death is something that aging saints deal with. You know, that you see the breakdown of your body and you're saying, you know, how will I pass through it? And as a believer, you're looking forward to glory. But you're not, how am I going to handle the passageway to glory? How will I go through what the Lord has for me there? And there's a sense of the pangs of death. As the psalmist was speaking of the pangs of facing death and the pains that he was going through and the sorrows and the fears, they get hold of you. I can think of a man that I knew years ago, a Christian man who had faced a terrible experience with the death of his father in the hospital when both of them were near death in the hospital at the same time because of an illness. And he survived and his father didn't. And because of the responses of his mother, perhaps, and some of his own fears, that even as an aged man, he would go to visit loved ones in the hospital. And after a few moments of visiting in the hospital, he was pacing, ready to get out because he had this traumatic experience in facing death. Well, beloved, the reality is there is the coming disability unless God grants a special blessing. There are the problems of disrespect with aging unless God grants a revival in our day. And there is the certainty of death that we face with aging unless the Lord Jesus comes soon. But let us not be discouraged and let us not be traumatized by the reality of facing death. As William Gurnall admonished the saints some time ago, "Let thy hope of heaven master thy fear of death. Why shouldst thou be afraid to die who hopest to live by dying?" So let's move then to the second area that we're examining from the problem of aging that we face to the prayer of aging faith, of aging saints. A prayer, I should say, of aging saints. This is not the only prayer that should come forth from aging saints. And yet, like the Lord's Prayer, it becomes instructive to us as how, as we are aging, we might pray. I draw your attention to Psalm 71, to verse 9. "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him, for there is none to deliver him.' Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are my adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Well, that's a prayer, saints. That's a prayer commended to us as we look at all of life, as we see the moving on from our childhood. And as Pastor McCurley admonished you young people, we mustn't presume that you will live to age 70 or 80. By God's grace, you may, and you may live well beyond it till you are, as we read, almost in the grave at 100. But we don't know. This is a prayer. Lord, take care of me when I am aged, but for a young person looking forward to when in reality you will become aged if God preserves your life to old age and you pray ahead. Lord, take care of me for the future, even when I'm aged. We see in this prayer the addressing of the fear of rejection. He's saying, God, don't cast me off when everybody else is casting me off. We see this because he has certain adversaries who are going to pick on him, and he's vulnerable now. And he's saying others have deserted. Either he's lost those who would normally be a part of his defense mechanism, the many sons of his quivers that would protect him, and he stands in the doorway of his house, or maybe friends and neighbors who would have stood with him. But now when he's weak and frail and feeble, no one wants to stand with him against his enemies. And he looks to God, and he says, they're deserting me, God. Oh, Lord, don't desert me. Stand with me. He understands how others are going to prey upon him. He understands how others are taking advantage of him. And he addresses that fear and that concern to God. But you notice, he doesn't stop there. It's a saint's prayer. It's a believer's prayer. It's one who's confident in who God is. And going from his anxiety, as we've been admonished by the apostle in Philippians chapter 4, to talk about the anxieties and to take them to the Lord, he goes from there to thanksgiving and to speak of his confidence and to speak of his hope. He's saying, Lord, my hope is in you. My confidence is in you. You, Lord, have taught me from my youth. You've been there for me. He's giving thanks to God for what God has done. And beloved, aging saints who are present, when you are tempted to be overcome by the aches and the pains and the disabilities that are overcoming you. Perhaps children or grandchildren are becoming disrespectful towards you. When you think of I'm maybe not that far from death itself. Think back to what God has done for you. Those should be the thoughts that occupy our hearts and inform our prayers as we declare with thankfulness to God the wonders of what he's done. And as we commit ourselves to live what this dear saint prayed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Oh, aging saints, I don't know how many times through my life, because I'm getting aged too, I've heard older members in the congregations I've served saying, I put my years of service in. It's time for the younger people to take over. That flows out of the mentality of the rich farmer. Look, I've got this abundant harvest. It'll suffice me for the rest of my life. I'll just build these bigger barns and sit back and take my ease. And God says, today your life will be required of you. That's foolish living. We ought to be continually making our prayer unto God. God, do not forsake me. You see, God doesn't forsake us in heaven. What he's saying in this, when he says, God, don't forsake me, he says, God, don't cease to sustain me and provide for me in this life until you're ready to take me to heaven. Have me glorify you while I live. That's the prayer that's being offered. So let us then draw our attention to God's promise to aging saints. God's promise to aging saints. As we pray this prayer to him, we have the words that we read in our text earlier from Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. That wise and godly Saint Matthew Henry, many of you enjoy the nourishment of your souls from his commentaries, makes his comment in this place. This promise to aged Israel is applicable to every aged Israelite. And I would say Israelite includes those whose lives are hid in Christ. God has graciously engaged to support and comfort his faithful servants even in their old age. Even to your old age, when you grow unfit for business, when you are compassed with infirmities, and perhaps your relationships begin to grow weary of you, yet I am he that I am, he that I have been, the very same by whom you have been born from the belly and carried from the womb. You change, but I am the same. I am he that I have promised to be, he that you have found me to be, and he that you would have me to be. I will carry you. I will bear you up and bear you out and will carry you on in your way. And carry you home at last. I couldn't say it any better than what he said in expressing the content of God's message of hope to aging saints. It's beautiful. It warms our hearts. When's the last time you felt God carrying you? Well, he is. He's providentially providing for you every day. But we also know that God uses means to fulfill his promises. And the means for God fulfilling this promise, we can see expressed in the scriptures in two different ways. One means for caring for aged saints. There are the two C's. Children. and the church. And children encompasses children and grandchildren and great grandchildren, depending on how long God leaves you here. God carries and bears and provides for his saints by the command that's gone forth from his mouth. We're protected from the seas because God commanded and he set the boundaries for the seas that they might not come over them, that we might not no longer be overwhelmed by the flood. And God does set a boundary, as it were, a protection for aging saints. It's through the provision of children and grandchildren. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." You see, that commandment, that fifth commandment, is misinterpreted when we think, this is the commandment for little children. Yes, it is a commandment for little children. But it's for grown children with old parents as well. And that's what's being addressed as we read the passage from the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where the Lord addresses the need for children to show piety at home and repay their parents. Oh, sometimes that piety at home, kids, when you're young, is helping out with some of the chores at home and honor to your parents in order that you might give a return for all the care that God has provided to you through them. But it's very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that it's God, part of God's design and protection for his aged saints, that he has set this rule whereby he has called grown children to care for their aging and perhaps that by his grace, ancient parents as they are kept here for his glory. And the Lord then addresses to us the importance, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5 at verse 8, this real important wall of protection for the ancient saint. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, we've heard this passage rightly applied to deadbeat dads who bear children and run off and leave them. They run off and leave their wives, and it rightly is applied to them and declaring to them, "You're worse than an unbeliever if you do not care for your own." But when you take this verse in its broader context of 1 Timothy chapter 5, more specifically even than a father who's been failing to care for his own family, is the issue that's being addressed in this chapter of families that are failing to care for their aged parents. Families that are failing to care for their aged parents. Beloved, in this world racked with sin, we've seen over the passing of time of an ungodly influence in the world that discourages parents from caring for their children. Even to the point, if you don't want a child, kill it in the womb and get rid of it so you won't have that responsibility. And when it comes out of the womb, you don't have to take care of it. You know, the government will provide an institution. You can carry your children to this institution and they'll raise them to be godless members of this society. In the same time, there's been this emphasis that when God has a plan for parents to care for children, he also has a plan for children to care for parents. And we've seen that through the passing of time from a couple generations ago when you wouldn't have thought of putting your parents any place other than in your home to care for them, to going to the nursing home and then finally, you know, they're being simply abandoned. Now, in saying this, we're not saying it's improper to use a nursing home for an aged parent that's ill and care absolutely can't be given at home. But beware lest we do with them as we've done with the children, when children can obviously be cared for at home and you give them to somebody else to care for. When you could care for an aged parent at home and you simply don't want the responsibility to care for them. Kids, do you see how this applies to you? You might say, well, I'm a long time off getting old, Lord willing. I'm granted that long. It's a long way off, but how far off is it for your parents before you have to begin to think in God's economy of things that how will I help my parents when they get old? There's been many misled by the lies in our culture who has a mindset that says, well, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Well, yes, we don't want to be an unnecessary burden on our children. If we're fully capable of taking care of ourselves, we don't want to be the rich farmer who just says, I want to retire early and let my children have all the responsibility for my life. But when we get to a point when we're failing, when our eyesight's gone, when our hearing's gone, when we're not able to get around without falling and so forth, and when we're like, as Jesus told John, when Peter asked about what about him, he says that there would day would come when he would not be able to do himself, but he would lift up his arms and somebody would dress him. And someone would carry him to places he didn't want to go. You see, there's two ends to life unless death comes early. And so it's very important that we as God's children in the covenant community understand the wonder and the glory of how God has prepared His world and given instruction for how to live in His world so that we can experience all the joy and the comfort that our Heavenly Father has intended for us. You see, what's being proposed in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in admonishing the church to see that family members take care of their aged ones before the church would consider it is an attitude that God had for His people throughout the ages. I draw your attention to we could go to all kinds of biblical examples to illustrate what I'm trying to bring to our minds forefront today. In Ruth chapter 4 at verse 15, there is great joy in the home of Naomi because of the birth of a grandson, Obed. There's such joy. This dear godly woman, and we're not sure how godly, I mean, you have to read between the lines because you don't really know how godly she lived. Her husband and she moved to a pagan land. You know, their sons married pagan daughters, and you know, you can follow all that story and all the implications of it. But finally, they're back in God's promised land. And Naomi is seeking God's blessing, and this unbeliever Ruth, who's embraced finally Naomi's God, comes back with her, and God blesses, and this child is born. And listen to the words of Naomi's neighbors, because it expresses the mindset that I believe God would have all of us to have. They speak to Naomi and they say, may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. What is she essentially saying? She's saying Obed would continue the family line. He would lay claim to his grandfather's inheritance. He would serve as a nourisher of his grandmother in his old, in her old age. And this expression was the concept embraced by the people in the Jewish community at that day as just the common way of thinking. Look, he's been born to you as a firstborn son. And when you are feeble and struggling around and unable to do, this little boy will take care of you. We see one other example. It's from the New Testament, lest some of us go wandering astray and think, well, that's Old Testament. There's a New Testament son who takes care of his mother as well. It's the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as he's hanging on Calvary's cross. And as he's hanging there on the cross and he understands that he is going back to his Father in his heaven and his mother is being left here in her old age by herself. He doesn't say, now, mother, remember you've got James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas and they'll take care of you. He looks down to his beloved disciple John. Behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. And in that act of commissioning the care that had been his to the beloved disciple John, Jesus committed her to loving, godly, Christian care in preserving of her in her old age. You see, this is a reality. It's another reality, dear aging saints, if you haven't already contemplated it. And that is, who's going to care for you in your old age? In the provision of the Old Testament, there was a double inheritance given to the oldest son because presumably he would be the one taking care of you. You weren't going to be passed around through all the children until each one got tired of you and passed you around and again to the next one. Care and provision was made. And you can remember, dear Rebecca in the Old Testament, she did some awful things, but she was thinking ahead. And she was saying, what will it be like for me to live in the household of Esau, who's married pagan wives? She saw it as a life worse than death. And so she helped her younger son steal his brother's birthright. Beloved, God intends to bring comfort and care to us in our aged years through the children and the grandchildren that he has given. He also, the second C, and this will be much briefer, he intends to give care to the aged through his church. When the family is not able to provide for that need, the church has been committed with the care of the widows. Now notice that Lord gives very carefully defined information as to who the church will actually care for. 1 Timothy 5:9. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been a wife of one man and well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has been diligent following every good work. Are we qualified? He's saying this is a promise to the saints. It's a promise to those who are not living like worldlings and calling themselves Christians. It's a promise to those who are vigorously pursuing the things of God. His intent was young widows would remarry, or they would be heads of their own households, perhaps able to provide for themselves. In fact, one of the ones listed as caring for the aged is a widow caring for widows that she has, because of the house, head of a household, and still able to do, she was able to provide for her mother or grandmother, and she didn't remarry, but simply took care of those she was able to care for. The idea that the church is responsible for the care of every widow is erroneous. Should the church care about every widow? Yes. Should the church care about everyone in need? Yes. But he was speaking here of the church taking, as it were, the responsibility to bear for all the care of this needy, aged woman who was 60 years or over. If she weren't over 60 years, she wasn't yet qualified for the role, unless there was some severe disablement that would have required for her to be cared on some other basis. So we see God's provision to care for aged saints. Well, I must hurry on. And finally, I would mention, not only is there God's promise, and we see how he has purpose to carry it on and to provide for aged saints, but we need to look at the substance of God's promise as well to aged saints. In Psalm 92 at verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. God promises fruitfulness to those who are living for him. Fruitfulness. Oh, you may have aches and pains and difficulties. Well, aging saints, we heard a blessed message last night of a man who died at 29 years of age, who was filled and racked with pain, the likes of which could not be any less than any aged saint. And he served his Lord until he was lying in his deathbed. This idea of just giving up because we have aches and pains, that our teeth are falling out, that our eyes are quit, we can't hear as well, we have to get around with a cane. Oh, those are the glory years. If we're looking at them biblically, they're the golden years. These are our opportunities to live with expectation and joy, knowing that God has promised us that we would bear fruit in our old age. And I think he's referring more than being Abraham's, who are nearly 100, and all of a sudden we find we have a newborn son. He's talking about a fruitfulness of declaring to the coming generation the glories of God, to tell forth the wonder of our God. So, don't embrace the follies of youth. There's nothing sadder that I've seen, perhaps you feel the same way, to see an aged woman wearing godless teenager's clothes. It's a sad thing. It's been a sad experience that I've had a number of times in my ministry, to hear older members of a congregation turning to young members of the congregation who've listened carefully and heard that children are a blessing of the Lord and they are filling their quiver. And to hear an older Christian say, "Don't you know where those children come from?" Oh, beloved, when we look forward as aging saints to glory, we're not going to go there with our bingo scorecards. And that day when you had a great day on the golf course and you got a really low score, and present it and cast it at Jesus' feet. We may be aching and we may be hurting and we may be limited in ways that we weren't limited when we were young, but we're closer to glory. We need to remember our Creator in the youth that we have left and to spend ourselves vigorously for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Remember ancient Simeon and Anna? They were serving in the final years of their life. And they had the privilege not merely to entertain angels, but hold in their arms the Son of God. I think of Pastor Isbell's aging father, hearing a report as we visited with him last year, and I've heard reports since, wanting to go back to the mission field to share Christ with others. I think of an aged and dying saint, my mother, racked with cancer, half paralyzed, unable to move a pen with her hand across the page, using two in order to get the pen to work, taking 2 days to write a letter to an unbelieving nephew. The only day she was seen crying on her deathbed. We got life to live. We got glory to serve. We have a Savior to glorify all the more as we draw near to glory. I think of a story I read of an 84-year-old Christian who at his time of his retirement didn't see it as a time for quitting, but rather to share Christ. He was like the single person in a sense, and that he didn't have all the responsibilities. He still had a wife and he still had family, but his responsibilities were now diminished. He wasn't in the workplace every day. So what did he do? He made that an opportunity to share Christ every day. He shared his testimony of faith with thousands of people in retirement. He began by breaking the ice with absolute strangers in a public place by saying, "May I share a prayer with you that changed my life 74 years ago?" And a lot of people would not walk away from that question. And he'd open up and begin sharing the prayer somewhat that he had prayed and how Christ had answered that prayer, the Lord had answered that prayer in changing his life. And he began telling them what a difference the Lord Jesus made in his life. Well, in conclusion, beloved, aging is a reality. It cannot be circumvented except for by dying. It has its trials. It has its afflictions. It also has its comforts that come in the blessing of God. A long life and a fruitful life for those whose lives are hid in the Savior. In God's plan, aged saints are to be honored and protected and cared for in the family and in the church. Our comfort in old age primarily is a God who said, "I'll carry you and I will make you fruitful." Take him at his promise. And may your prayer be, "Oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." May you have the motto that dear Saint Henry Martin had as a missionary to Persia and India. "Let me burn out for God. Let me burn out for God." Shall we stand for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you asking that you would minister to each of our hearts and lives, from the youngest to the oldest, that we might see that we have a wonderful place in your plan. As little children, honoring our parents, extolling our God, as we give respect to those who are aged. As we look ahead with eyes of faith to the days when we will be aged, and our children and our grandchildren will take care of us according to your plan. We pray, Lord, especially for those who are aging present here this day, who have in some degree perhaps bought into the lie of the world to eat, drink, and be merry because we finished our work. Lord, we pray, oh God, do not forsake us until we declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.